This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music. Music. Music.
Out there, and here we got Allie.
There she is.
Look at that hair, girl.
Do I need to be horizontal? Does it matter?
You
are we good?
You can do what you want.
All right. That's what I do best. So yeah. You like it? It's supposed to be half and half, but I'm not fixing my part for you guys. But it's supposed to be.
Can you put her on the big window so we can get a good look?
Yeah. Let me see how I can do it. How do you do that?
Your micro.
You look at it. You don't check it out.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me do that.
You got the blonde. Stormy's got the red. I'm going to love it. Whoa. That's
there it is. There it is.
Yeah, all right. So it's, my camera's mirrored, and there used to be a web stream yard to turn it off, and there's not anymore, and it drives me bonkers. But it should be split down the middle and like two colors, but I'm not fixing it for you guys right now.
Kicks butt.
You like it?
Oh, my
I
God.
Love it. It looks beautiful. Like you can't catch it. Yes.
You go British on me. It looks great, Ali.
It looks lovely.
Lovely.
I love it. My oldest sister has kind of always been blonde. And then the middle sibling has always had really dark hair. And now if I do like split it, I look like Taylor and I look like August. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool for me. But I've never had light hair before. So it's a new journey for sure.
So in addition to blonde, what else has been going on in Allie world?
Oh my gosh, guys. I'm still here. You know what I mean? Like on the planet, like around, like doing the thing.
You're busy.
I'm very, very grateful. I have been busy. It has been just a mental war, I feel like, for the last couple months. But that's kind of always been a thing for me. So I've been really good. Been trying to stay busy, trying to learn when to not be busy, and all that kind of stuff. But it's been good. Everyone's been kind to me.
You know, that's actually a good point. That is, I've been part of a lot of startups. I had my own startup for a few years. And I think the biggest lesson that I took away from it failed. You know, the burn rate eventually ran out. But the biggest lesson was learning how to make time for myself.
Yeah.
It's so easy to find yourself the moment you wake up, you're at work and you do it until you go to sleep and it's 7 days a week and you burn out.
Yeah. And it's the product thing for me that's really confusing all the time because it's me. You know what I mean? So I don't really know how to put her down or how to quit, you know, working on her or how to do something or even to just, and then social media is wild. I know everyone's like this, like you just, whether you're a creator or you just use social media as it was made, you know, to socially connect with the people around you. It's like, there's not anything anymore that isn't content. Like, I don't think there's been a day for probably years where I wasn't in the middle of something, like really enjoying it going, we need to film this. Like, this could be content. And I think that's been a big thing that I've learned also is like just being present and like,
is there a difference between you and the product? Like, I don't know if you're supposed to share this, but like, do you have a persona that when you're in the public, when you're on stage, it's seen? And then when you,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I have, there's Allie Colleen and there's Allie. And I'm not going to tell you that they're incredibly different, right? Like, obviously, you know, I think the morals on how we do our business is the same, but like the Allie that I am in, like meet and greets and on the show and even on Instagram and all of that stuff, like, that is not the Allie that my friends get. When it's just us. So there's a very large branding thing for me around Allie and like who and what she is and that kind of thing. And I think as much as I think it makes me a little crazy sometimes, I think it also really protects Allie. So
that's interesting. Stormy, did you go through that with your dad when you were around, like in the scene? Was there a Stormy scene? Was it or persona or not?
Very much. Totally. It really was. Am I delayed again?
No, we hear you. Keep going.
Okay, good. Okay. Yes, it's very different from what I put out and then at home. Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird to like find the world where like they don't connect also. So like I think like on Instagram,
exactly.
I think I've given myself like three things. Like, so audiences get three things from me on Instagram. You get my horses. And you get like the makeup and the ASMR stuff and you get my music. Like, those are the three things that I will allow you into. Like, you will not learn about my family on my Instagram. Like, you're not going to learn about my nieces. You know what I mean? And I don't even paddleboard so much on Instagram anymore either, just because like she's in a swimsuit and everyone had to sexualize that. So I don't really paddleboard too much on Instagram either. So I really kind of try and keep my veins between music and horses, and like the cosplay stuff I do think is fun and I do like to let people into that. But I think learning how to like to film content of like what is content and what's just a good day that you didn't have to share with anybody, you know, like you're not responsible to share that day with someone just because it was good. And I think that's been a big thing for me to learn, I think, in the last year content wise is like
Don Grizz and I down. Don Grizz and I, we work hard not to sexualize ourselves.
It's hard.
It is an all day job, you guys. I know. I can see you. All right.
It's tough. I mean, I have to hold back. Yeah.
It's a hard job.
Yeah. Yeah. Dean, thanks for calling that out.
I just needed to point it out.
Yeah. Well, Allie, you know, I've been doing with this kind of rebranding and or I should say relaunching of FM 2.0. I've been putting together medleys for the artists, like a mixtape of your own songs. I got three.
They all go together? Like they're in the same key?
Well, I don't know if they go together.
I don't think you went too far.
They go together. Anyway, no, I put three songs together because it just kind of introduces your music to anybody that may not have ever heard your music.
I get it.
And then we could talk about it because there's some stories behind a couple of these moments here. So if you don't mind, I'm going to do this real quick. Here's an Allie Colleen medley of three songs. Here we go.
She was the same. Boiling hot and freezing cold, holding on and letting go, and I don't know why I can't pick a side. I'm a surfer bet, I'm a long side gambler. Easy to laugh, but I'm hard to heal now. I'm an angel mixed with a hell bent rebel. Got a heart of gold, I'm a silver tongued devil, and I don't know. That feels just like that. While we're still friends, while we're still here, before the last thread of us forever disappears, before we let go, give me your hand. Let's make the
there it is.
Dang.
A tribute to you. So the reason that it's a special thing, we've had you on so many times, but I go back to the first time you were on. The first song I ever heard from you was Ain't the Only Hell My Mama Raised. I keep getting the title mixed up, but
I just called it Ain't the Only Hell. It's too long.
Ain't the Only Hell, right?
Yeah, it's too long.
It was, if you remember, I was like, I got to play this pre-chorus. This is the first introduction to you to us because it gave me goosebumps. And you went, well, I've never had anybody go, I'm going to go to 2 minutes and 20 seconds of a song of mine. That was so unique, right? And
it was my favorite thing.
But it's special. It built this special relationship we have. And then Halos and Horns, when I did the start of the very beginning of the show, I played that clip where I asked if you ever rode a bull. And you go, you haven't, but you want.
No, but I found out that there is a bar in Phoenix that just has live bull riding. Like you can sign up for it. My friends went and they paid $10 and they got to ride a bull and they kept their Vans on. Like, I want to go so bad. I want to go so bad. And then now there's the fad in Nashville of having like the celebrity bars. And so all of us, you know, are like, well, if we ever got to have one, like, what would it be? I would have a Halos and Horns bar on Broadway could ride a bull, like not a mechanical bull. Like we would bring in like practice bulls. And even I would even really like to do steer wrestling, but I feel like someone would die. I think it would be the coolest thing ever. And there will be a floor that is only a tattoo parlor.
How about this? So when I was a kid, I had some friends that owned a hog farm. And we used to jump onto hogs and ride them. What about a bar where you have a real hog and you get to ride a hog around?
I kind of like the hogs. We have to respect the pigs, though, okay? And the bulls. I'm going to say that out right now. Okay. For some reason, that feels disrespectful to the hog, but the bull, like, it doesn't to me. I don't know why.
That's not a word for it. Those hogs are big. Those things get big.
Hogs are mean, actually. So I guess you'll just get what you get, but...
Well,
I think adult mutton busting. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I think Stormy asked you, how do you think you do? And you said, I think the bull would apologize. That's always
I do.
that was the line. But and then of course, while we're still friends, that was the song before the one we're gonna feature tonight. But how's the response been to that? I know there's a lot of craziness putting that video together.
It was a lot. And I actually haven't watched it since we pushed it for maybe a week or two. And then we've talked about this, just things just get hard to, continue to push, about yourself and stuff. And there are some outlets that didn't come through that we had talked to that we thought were going to come through, that we're going to push it a lot more. So all of that to say, I haven't watched it in weeks. I haven't watched it since we started pushing it, and just seeing that little clip that you put in there made me so emotional. I'm so proud of that video.
Yeah, I tell you, I love that song so much, to the point where my wife literally asked me, she goes, is this how you feel about us? And I was like, no, it has nothing to do with that. But I feel like there are so many, and that's the truth, but there are so
many. My husband asked me the same thing and I couldn't say that. I was so awkward.
She saw the interview and she didn't believe me at first because she saw you say that. And I said, no, it's because there are so many aspects in life that I can think of where I've reached that point where I had to force myself to recognize the journey had come to an end.
Yeah.
It wasn't about relationships, not about a romantic relationship, but about so many other things.
Right. Just partnerships and life and jobs and circumstance, exactly. And even just living somewhere and even just believing something, which I think is a huge thing that I don't know that people really partner grief with, but there is a loss to mindset, right? And everything since 2020 has shaped a lot of our mindsets differently, two kind of things. So it's been very interesting, but to respond to what the interaction has been and what all the feedback has been from the song, I didn't realize how much of a hole there was in, like, and again, While We're Still Friends does not have to be a divorce song to people. We've said that 100 times. Like, it's just, recognizing, like we said, like a journey's over. But for those people who do relate to it in the same way that I do, as having a life partner who you don't have anymore and all that kind of stuff, I didn't realize that there wasn't a safe space for that. I didn't realize that in music. I mean, I'm sure there is, the world's so large of music, but I don't know of any songs that give you those 3 minutes to sit there in that space, as uncomfortable as it is, and it to be just kind, and just like what it is. And so that's been a large response is, hey, I married the greatest person on the planet and I still love them and they're wonderful and we didn't work out. And like, thank you for giving me something that, one, really justifies and validates the frustration and the anger that I have, but doesn't place it on that person because they didn't do anything wrong. Like, that has been a huge compliment from this song, from listeners to me. And I am just so honored and so proud that it's just, there's a lot of moments in my life where I'm grateful for, all the trials and the stuff that we go through, because I do get to write about it and I do get to turn it into something that is special and important. And that's happened a few times with just music and the circumstance of being a songwriter. And While We're Still Friends just continues to make me so grateful that I get to take these moments in my life and turn them into something instead of that just being what it was. You know what I mean? And just being this sad ending to something that was supposed to be forever for me and something that I believed in. So the response has been amazing. It's been very kind. The response to the video has been very cool. I really thought I would get some shade for wearing my dress and using my my chapel and all that kind of stuff that we did get married in, but everyone has been really, really oddly enough, grateful. Like everyone has been very grateful that they were let into that little moment of my life and seeing the dress and seeing the chapel and like understanding that I am really showing skin here, allowing people to see what I did lose and that kind of thing. So the response has literally just been wild to me. I don't know that I've had this type of an emotional validation from my audience yet of a song that I've put out. So it's been incredible.
It is incredible. I want to point out too, that was a collaboration with Lee Bryce. You did several shows with Lee. What was that like, performing with Lee Bryce every night?
I did get to do the shows with Lee. That was incredible. I've been working with Lee for several years now, and you know, he took on the writing hat first, you know, and I got to meet him as a writer, and we got to sit down and we got to write, and that was incredible. And then he took on the producer hat, and I got to learn from him, and I got to work in the studio with him on Halos and Horns and Feels Like, and this song called While We're Still Friends. And it was just incredible, like, getting to see how his brain worked and how he, you know, came at something sonically, where Jared Neiman, who also produced a lot of that stuff, would go at it a completely different way. And so getting to sit back and learn from them has been amazing. But nothing has been as cool as performing Lee. Like when Lee puts that performer hat on and I get to sing with someone who's also a vocalist, that's the craziest thing I've ever done. That was so cool. And we never really practiced. We never really knew what we were doing. So every single night it was both of us just kind of like looked at each other like, did you put your boots on? Because I put my boots on. Let's see what happens. And it was so much fun. And I don't think there's been a social media post since that run where one comment on it somewhere isn't, we saw you on the Lee tour and like, we love your stuff. So there has also been a big, you know, kind of following come over from that, which I was very, very grateful for. And hopefully when we tour those areas, they'll come back.
Yeah. What's a big, considering when you've been live performing over the years, thinking about even just a year or two ago, what have you learned about yourself or what have you improved on in your live performance?
I have started going to shows again. I quit doing that for a really long time.
You mean going to other people's shows?
Yeah. Oh, going to other people's shows. And if there are any artists watching this and you, and your whole show, you don't feel like you can enjoy it because you're just overthinking the whole thing. And like, you hate that person right there's face expression. It's been the same for the last three songs and they hate being here and they don't want to be. That's not going on. You know what I mean? Like when I started going to shows again, like as a consumer, all of the dead spaces were beautiful. You know what I mean? Like just watching an audience watch a performer and really not engaging, right? Like they're not dancing, they're not singing along, they're just watching. And being on stage for that, I always thought that this must be a boring show. They must not be in it. Like this must be whatever. Now as a consumer, I go and I just watch somebody perform and I'm like, we're all having a good time. Like this is actually just a really fun time, you guys. So oddly enough, going to shows again has made me enjoy the other side of the stage so much more. And just realizing that like when the show ends and they don't clap and they start talking to each other, they're still probably talking about how much they loved the song. You know what I mean? And that kind of thing. And even like watching people, you know, sit and watch my friends play and they're like, man, I can't believe like they're so talented. That's incredible. And then they won't clap for the next song. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like you didn't come here for me. You came here for you. You know what I mean? And that has changed my live energy and just attention and just how I enjoy my shows. Like it's changed everything about them, just going and being a consumer again of music, which was really cool. And I didn't think would happen.
I like what you said there. You came here for you and not for me. Yeah. So as artists, you used to sit there and think that they're coming here for me. But they're really there. They're coming there for them.
That's nothing to do with me.
To enjoy you as a performer.
To enjoy me as a performer, but also like to be next to the person they're next to in a room full of music. You know what I mean? Like as much as my name is on the ticket and you came for it, like you came here to get away from your work week and your 9 to 5 and all of your problems that are happening for you. Like none of this is about me. I do get to be this awesome vessel who gets to like party with you and rock on and give you a show, but it's like, it has nothing to do with me. And I think that's the, and then best case I'm wrong. And it does, right? You came for me and I'm all you care about. That's a win-win right there. That's a win-win.
It is a win-win. Well, thank you for sharing that because it is true. It really is about the experience. And it's something that one of our missions is that, is to get people excited about going to live shows. I think a lot of people are like you. I think people got apathetic maybe after the pandemic that happened, and people kind of went, yeah, I don't feel like going to a live show anymore. But when you do go and you get, you go for the experience, it takes on a whole different thing when you're singing along to the person next to you and stuff.
Yeah. And I think that that was something too, that I think I had lost for a while too, is because my brain always said, why would I go to that show? Like, I'm going to go to the show and someone's going to get drunk around me and they're going to shoulder check me a bunch of times and the bathroom line's going to be long. And, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors in the sense of, I know how the production stuff works, so I can tell that that's a track and that's not a real guitar, and he's, you know, that kind of thing. And then, and I always landed on, I can just listen to him on Spotify. Like, it will genuinely sound better anyway. I can just listen to him on Spotify. Like, I'll buy a ticket, I'll support, but I'm not going to go. And then I went and I learned, I don't know why, it would just like hit me in the face that it was just about so much more than the set list, you know, that the artist played that night. You know, it was so much more than that. And it's just so cool. So again, if you, whatever your career is, if you haven't dove into your career recently as a consumer and not as, you know, head honcho, I think you'll learn a lot about your surroundings that maybe you haven't been seeing for a while. I don't know. It was a huge perspective change for me.
Wow. Sounds like to me you should become a public speaker and start doing some corporate gigs. That is that's a very powerful statement.
Nope. I'm trying to stay alive every day. I should not be given any kind of whatever to talk to people.
I'll share with you. It's funny. It's not funny. It's actually interesting to hear you say this, because I've shared this story with Don. You know, for years, other than playing like in local cover bands or even original bands, you know, I loved music. I had a perspective as a fan. Now, over the last few years, as I would transition from that over to Sirius XM and then start talking to a lot of artists, I'm not going to lie, there was a period that probably hit about a year ago where, and I was warned going into this, that I would change as a fan. I did. Probably about a year ago, I stopped being able to see the wizard and I saw the man behind the curtain. It did destroy music for me. And I've spent the last year kind of rebuilding that. And then a couple months ago, you know, texting every night, I sit there and I text various artists and they share with me music that they've written and recorded with no intention of releasing. It's just the stuff that they want to do for themselves. Incredible.
Incredible. You got Dropbox friends.
I do.
I do. Nothing cooler than Dropbox friends, you guys.
And what happened, it recharged me. I got excited again. I fell in love with music again.
Yeah.
So I'm going through that right now.
You're so right. I mean, that just is what it is. It's exactly like, especially going and like, you know, you do the rehearsals and you do whatever. And especially when your show turns into a place of, hey, at this song, this is when I'm going to like accidentally bump into you and we're going to laugh about it and we're going to do it. Like when you realize that even the nuances that like the people leave home from the show, like, and you'll never believe this, she actually ran into her guitar player at this one point and then they just laughed and it was wild and it still worked out with the riff. And it was insane. It's like you learn that all of that has been, you know, set in stone in place to make sure that the show goes and that you are giving an experience. And I think for such a long time, I quit seeing all of the little nuances, like all of the shine, like all of the glitter that wasn't planned and that wasn't happening. And I discredited a lot of it. And it is wild. It's just, it's so weird. I think I'm in this new mindset now of not fixing things. I used to be in such a mindset of if I didn't like how something was working, I would fix it. And I've learned that there's not actually that many broken things happening. You know what I mean? Like there is a huge intent in a lot of things that's happening. It's big, small, whatever it is. And I think it's more of a perspective change than like going and fixing something. You know what I mean? And there's been a lot of stuff in music for the last year that I've had to do that. And I'm so grateful that I did, because I feel excited, you know, again, wow, for the first time in honestly quite a very long time. And I'm so grateful for it. And I don't think I realized how much I didn't have for a while, but it's been a really good year for me. It's been really challenging, but it's been a really good year for me, I think, mindset wise.
Allie Colleen, motivational speaker.
Keep going, dog.
Is there a TED Talk on the way?
TED Talk. I was going to say, she should do some TED Talk.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I actually really do care about that kind of stuff, and I would love to be a part of it one day, but right now I'm just trying to stay healthy.
TED Talk. Talk. Can we talk about, I got wind, and you can tell me, no, we can't talk about it. You're going to be part of a festival in North Florida. Is that correct?
I am.
we talk about it?
It is. We can talk about it.
Cool. Excellent.
We can absolutely talk about it. It was actually a bamboozlement on my part. I didn't know what was happening. I thought there's a new festival in Florida and like, we're gonna, like we're on it. Like, dang, like getting on CAA's roster was the move. Like, let's go. No, turns out not the case. When I saw the lineup, I was so excited. And I think it's really kind of our only festival of the summer too, but I'm very excited to be a part of the first Jam Fest. It's in Panama City Beach. My night headliner is Garth Brooks. So my dad will headline my night. I think it's Carrie Underwood the night before, and then I think it's Alabama the next night.
Oh,
wow.
But you want to know the real kicker, you guys?
What's the kicker?
Halloween Horror Nights starts August 30th.
I heard.
And this show is on September 1st. So you know, if I can get tickets, I probably can't. If I can get tickets, you know I'm going to take my band to Halloween Horror Nights the night before we go and we play the festival. And that's the sauce. Like, that's what I'm so excited about.
See, I'm going to try to help there, because if I'm allowed to hang out with you in the band at Halloween Horror Nights, can I do that?
If you're telling me that you can help us get into Halloween Horror Nights, if you can hang out with us, Doug, you can stay on the bus. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Oh, I want
to look at that.
Have them lug in equipment.
Yeah.
I'll be a roadie.
Mm-hmm. You will. Right. You will. We'll have a little
It would be so awesome to go to Hollywood Horror Nights. Halloween Horror Nights. And if it hasn't gone to that, it's incredible.
I've never been to that? No, I've never gone. I watch the opening night every year, like on live. Like, would they do the big entrance thing, like the opening night of it? I watch it. I get scared by myself in my house, not even there. I can't wait. I want to go so bad.
The scare actors alone that walk around and just walk up to you and scare the hell out of you.
I know. I think I'm going to paint my face gore, so maybe someone thinks I work there, in the sense of I don't want to be scared. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be left alone. I want to watch from afar.
Well,
I don't want to be scared. But I know who's the bait. Okay. Lauren is the bait. Okay. My sound girl, Lauren, cutest little blonde you'll ever see. I feel like if I'm with her, I'm safe. Because she's not safe at all. She will be absolutely eaten alive there. And so I think if I just kind of hang behind Lauren, I'll just get to watch. I don't know if you guys find me approachable or not, but most people aren't running up to me in social situations. I'll tell you that right now. I don't look like I'm very friendly. I'm so
excited. Let's see your scowl. Let's see
RBF, what scowl. RBF, is that what they call it?
It's my face, actually. Just what it looks like. I don't really have a scowl. I just relax all my muscles, and there it is.
Don't mess with her. Oh my god.
Oh, it's so excited.
Lauren's gonna be sitting there going, "Allie's like my best friend tonight. I don't understand."
I'm just hiding behind her and laying the whole night.
At least you have a plan.
I do.
Yes,
I do.
You know, you can buy. People can buy a necklace, and that means that.
Do they do it like a sensory necklace thing? No.
The necklace is for that you don't want to be scared too much.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't understand this, but on Halloween, if you ever see children with like blue pumpkins, like that's what they're like collecting their candy in instead of like an orange pumpkin. That's like, it's like a sensory thing. And you're kind of like supposed to be aware that that child is like a spectrum child, and like, don't go and like touch their candy or mess with their stuff or like scare them or anything like that.
Good education there.
I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know it. I make a point to post it on my socials every Halloween because a lot of people do not know that. But it's only started to be like recognized really like in big communities.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at Bev's comment.
I see it. No, Bev will also be bait a little bit, but I feel like Bev will make me bait. So no, we're using Lauren.
Bait each other. But I want to get back to that. I want to get back to that message because it's something I didn't know.
Yes.
That's really important if they've got that, please just use caution.
Yeah. It kind of started within, you know, obviously smaller communities that were just based off of that, right? So like maybe trunk or treats that were for specifically spectrum, you know, children and young adults and that kind of thing. But it's just been such, you know, social media has made, you know, mental awareness so large now that there are certain cities and stuff that it's pretty understood, but a lot of people don't know that. So fun fact. And I wondered if they had something like that at Horror Nights, because I want to go so bad. And I think it's silly to go to a haunted house and like not want to be scared. I do understand that. But also my interest is at the fear part. We know this. You guys know me. I love makeup and I love stage settings and I love just production. So that's what I want to go so bad. I might have to get me a necklace that says, don't touch me.
Well, if you just had one extra day, what would be more worth it too is if you came to Tampa, because Busch Gardens puts Universal to shame.
Busch Gardens does a good job. They did.
Does it really?
Smokes. Yeah. They will scare you. The scare act much scarier.
Is it during the same time? Do you have any idea?
It's a whole season. It's a whole season. Like Halloween Horror Nights isn't one night.
It doesn't start.
I know that, but I didn't know if August 30th seems very early to me, like for Halloween Horror Nights. So I didn't know if Busch Gardens would be started, like launched pre-September.
I don't remember. It may have changed. So we used to have family passes. We took our girls to Virginia, down to Florida, everywhere. I don't remember starting in September, but it may have changed.
I want to go. We're hoping to, you know, make a run out of the whole thing and have some shows going out of PCB on the first. So hopefully we'll be, you know, around the area. Maybe we can stay in that area a couple days or something and play a couple shows or whatever. I would love to just make a whole run out of it. We need to be on the road more. So,
you know, what really would be really
for
cool.
Adding to that show. What?
What would have been really cool. I'm sorry. Started to interrupt you. How rude of me. Forgive me, Allie. But what I was going to say is, it would be cool, not this year, but maybe next year, is like an Allie Colleen Halloween tour of different places. Like, there's a place north of the county I live in where they actually touch you. They can actually sign a waiver and they can touch you as scare actors.
Yeah. They have the manners too. I don't know if you ever watched any of the shows on it, but they do have manners with, they can touch you. They also have sign up. I think they're literally called hostage dates, but you can sign up with a friend and like, they'll tell you like the parking lot you're going to meet them in. And they'll tell you like the duration of what you'll go through, and you have one safe word and you can use it, but it ends instantly and you can't do anything else. And they do some stuff to these people. It's why people pay for it.
The best childhood, best friend of my brother-in-law, when they went to college, I guess he went up to New York City and he actually started a company. There's a Rolling Stone article on his company. 2003, I think. I've got it somewhere. And he started a company doing kidnappings.
And did he take the dog food?
I don't know about that one, but if you read the article,
you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but in the article, he talks about how he had one client where the guy would want to be kiddnapped and then stuffed in like in a kiddie pool full of chocolate pudding and forced to sniff socks.
Same. Okay. Not the socks thing, but if you want to waterboard me with chocolate pudding, I don't think I would be opposed to it.
You get kidnapped. And I think there was another company, and maybe this is urban myth, but I don't think so, where they ended up going to the wrong house or something.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Ooh. They got the wrong people.
Yeah. That is a no go that you need to, I feel like you should like, make eye contact before it starts. You know what I mean? Like, be like, this is you, right? You in? Okay, let's go. because there was a manor for a while that people kept trying to shut down because it was so scary, but they couldn't because he didn't take any admission. And you signed the waiver before you went in the house. Like, you knew what it was. And he didn't take admission, but he just took dog food. And he would just donate to like local shelters with the dog food and his own dogs and all this stuff. And so there was also such a huge also like community that was like rallying for this guy, like let him do his scary house. Like he feeds all these dogs and like people sign up for it. They know what it is. Like, let him do it. But there was a manor like that for a while.
Now this,
that I watched a show on.
Brock took money. He got, I think they got paid. Most of the kidnappings get paid,
and they're pretty expensive too, which I just think is wild.
Isn't that crazy?
I think you could just literally go walk around Rivergate if you wanted and, you know, probably run into the same thing for free, but I don't know if they'll make it out. So probably not a good business model, but
they might not make it back home though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah,
there's a lot of those though, like even locally. I mean, there was three of them where I lived in North Carolina, like, and they were all pretty good.
Which one was your favorite? Which service did you like the best?
As far as the,
your kidnapping service. Who did you like?
I wasn't talking about the kidnapping. I was talking about the Halloween.
I thought you signed up also. I was like,
yeah, I thought you were like a.
No. I'm not here yet.
Were you forced to sniff socks? Was that your thing?
No.
Grizz was the pudding guy.
The pudding guy.
The muffin man. yeah, that's funny. Well, actually I'm looking at the, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Norm, Storm and Norman, Rock Crew, Country Crew on TikTok. A whole group of amazing individuals are there watching this.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody, see?
Yeah, because I can't go live on TikTok anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Dean's banned.
I'm banned for life.
Like for life?
Yeah. They banned me for life because we brought on JD Graham to talk about his life story.
I'm not familiar enough with any of that content.
So, JD's a singer-songwriter. Incredible. He's got a very dark past, and he sings about his dark past. And he told a story about his dark past and how he found faith and sobriety, and that was the music. And then, boom, I got locked out for good.
That's wild. That's insane. I've seen women get naked on TikTok Live before.
Yeah.
I sent a gift. You know what I mean? They let that happen all you want, and they wouldn't let you do that?
Nope.
That's insane.
Nope.
That's insane.
No, it's, I'll tell you what, though, if I got naked on TikTok, they would ban it.
Okay, we already covered how much of a trouble like you guys have throughout your days being sexualized. Okay,
it's a problem.
I don't want to trigger you. Okay.
And Don's twerking videos. I know they get likes and views, and I know you get attention, but
yeah.
You objectify men.
Check out my OnlyFans.
You objectify dad bods.
Yeah, I'd go broke. If I went on OnlyFans, I'd wind up owing money.
You're just paying OnlyFans to like allow them to just keep letting you do your thing. I respect that.
But I got to share this with you. So I had several months back, I actually got an invitation. I can't remember the company, but it's like the underwear for big guys, for dad bods. And I got an invite offered $15,000 to model underwear. And I said no, and my wife was pissed. She's like, "Are you insane?" He's like, "No, I don't want to do that."
Why wouldn't you take it?
Because at no point in my life have I ever thought about modeling underwear.
You said forward me the email. Forward me the email. I'll wear a bodysuit. I don't care. I'll advertise.
YOLO, Dean.
You give me $15,000.
Marie tried like hell. She's like, "Dude," I'm like, "No, no."
No, I'm going to dress up like that Scottish dude off of Goldmember. I'll advertise your underwear. I'll do whatever you guys need. Pay me $15,000. I'll advertise. Well,
$1 million.
Maybe not. What the hell?
Oh, wow. We went to underwear modeling on this.
Yeah, you never know where we go.
Naturally, we did. It was easy. It was easy to get there, believe it or not. Well, it was easy.
It doesn't take much to make that right turn. Doesn't Well, you know, what's special right now is you've got a new song.
I do.
Let's talk about this new song now.
I got the artwork tattooed on me last night.
Really? So this song is that special?
This song is that special. It's very, very special for me. Also, I am doing an entire, like, Ali Colleen leg sleeve. I just can't fill it up with songs too soon. You know what I mean? I'm hoping it's a live thing. But it's very small. It's like, it's kind of like the size of like the artwork as it is kind of on the photo or whatever. But my, I love this song. I remember when we went into writing it, and it's my favorite and least favorite thing about like having like co-writer friends is because I had never written with these three people before, and they're incredibly kind. Crystal and Alyssa and Craig, were incredibly kind. And the write was wonderful, but they all just kind of gave me that look, and I was like, yes, guys, I did literally just get divorced. And then they keep the look, and they're like, so what are we going to write about today? And I'm like, we're not doing that. We're not going to write like a divorce album. Like, don't use me right now for that, whatever. I know when all my friends, you know, when they lose somebody or they have a breakup or something, like everyone definitely cares. But the follow-up question immediately is, do we have any hooks? Like, are we writing about it? Like, what are we going to use today? What's in our arsenal? So I said, we get one song. We get one divorce song, and didn't even want to write it and like trap it in that kind of way, and just went with grief. You know, as we kind of started talking about in the beginning of this today, just grief of losing an expectation and a promise and all of those things that it was supposed to be. So the song's called Grass in the Grave. And it's just about that. It's just about letting that season go. And sonically, it's very frustrated. Like, I feel like sonically it's very big and frustrating, and you can sing along with it and you can be a little mad and you can do your thing. But lyrically, just like While We're Still Friends, you know, it tried to stay really kind and really honest and just very like matter of fact, like you didn't do this, I didn't do this, we just lost it. Like it's just gone. And sometimes you have to let things go. So that's kind of where it all came from. And I'm very proud of it. So it's my one follow-up to While We're Still Friends. And then the rest of the music for the rest of the year will be just about Allie and where she's at now in life and, you know, kind of more fun stuff and that kind of thing. But I am very proud of the narrative of Grass on the Grave as well.
You should be proud of it. It's in a fantastic song. I mean, and I don't just say that, you know, I always say every time you're on, like, oh my God, I love that song. Oh my God, I love that song. I'm not saying it because, you know, I know you and I consider you a friend too, but I don't do that because, I mean, it genuinely affects me. Every song you ever write, you have that ability to do that. And that's a talented songwriter, right? So let me play the song now. You mind if I play the whole song?
I don't mind at all.
All right. We're going to play the entire song. Sit back and listen. Take notes. Now, I want to introduce a concept too. Now, I don't know if you'll really find it in this song, but one day we were doing an interview and we were listening to a song and Dean goes to the artist, you know, your song's like wine. Like I get hints of this and I get hints of that, hints of that. And I go, we should create something called a song tasting where we go to like a winery, play an album and then people take notes about what they're hearing along with the senses of the wine, but what they're hearing and the different things they pick up.
Yeah.
So we're going to call this a song tasting.
Love it.
People listen and go and then pick up elements of the song that you think maybe in the universe, maybe Allie wasn't thinking it, but you're hearing it. And
I love it.
It's a sauce, right? So let's play it. Here it is. Grass on the Grave, everyone. Sit back and enjoy. Here we go.
Season in my life, I put you in my plans. I did what I thought was right. I worked so hard just to watch it die. Sometimes you have to leave some things behind. It was never getting better. They come up, but now I see them differently. Love is always love. That doesn't mean